This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and a great day for the chair of the Republican National Committee, Ronna McDaniel. She has just been reelected to a fourth term. Apparently, it wasn't that close. She had campaigned hard for this. The question I'd love to put on the table to one of the best political reporters in the business. His name is Jonathan Allen. He has been a frequent guest on the show, I'm proud to say. He is the author of the best-selling book about the Biden campaign, which was appropriately named Lucky, How Biden Barely Won the Presidency. It's available now in paperback. He's written recently about this Ronna McDaniel race. At a time when people are saying that Trump's hold on the Republican National Committee, and there's some amazing reporting about that in the New York Times today, Jonathan, does this indicate that Trump still may command the overwhelming loyalty of the people, the 162 people in the Republican National Committee, because Ronna McDaniel was his candidate, right?
I mean, that's one of the right questions. I guess, you know, Ronna McDaniel was his selection for that job in the first place, but Trump has more recently said that he liked both McDaniel and Harmeet Dhillon, her main challenger. Of course, Mike Lindell, the my pillow guy, got four votes. I could count them on one hand without the thumb, or count them on my four limbs. And Lee Zeldin, the former congressman from New York, got one vote. I think the question is, you know, just how deep Trump's ties go into the RNC going forward. And we're not going to see that until the primary really begins, because I think that the answer is that it's a little weaker than it was when he was president. And you saw that with some of the frustration with Ronna McDaniel for being too close to him, as opposed to some of the people who are frustrated with her for not being close enough. And it turned out she did the sort of Goldilocks thing, which she went just right between those two lanes of frustration. And really, kind of an overwhelming win here. I mean, given the fact that the Republicans had a tough cycle, and that Republicans lost the presidency in 2020, and lost the midterms in 2018, to think that she's going to be renewed for another couple of years here is, I think an overwhelming sign of approval from the committee.
Okay. Meanwhile, there is this from the New York Times this morning. They say the New York Times talked, emailed, or texted all 168 RNC members, and how many offered an unabashed endorsement of Mr. Trump's 2024 campaign? 4 out of 168. 20 said the former president should not be the party's nominee. An additional 35 said they would like to see a big primary field, or declined to state their position on Mr. Trump. The remainder did not respond to the messages. In interviews, some RNC members estimated that between 120 and 140 of the 168 members preferred someone besides Mr. Trump to be their party's presidential nominee. Do you believe that?
In theory, I believe that that's possible. But, you know, you don't run against nobody, usually. So the question is, who would each of them support other than former President Trump? And would they support that person against him, in a head-to-head? It's very easy to kind of, go to the referendum style of, do you want Trump or someone else? But someone actually has to run and take it from him. And I think it'd be interesting to see, what happens with that. But I do think that there's a real fear among Republicans that nominating Trump again could cost them the White House for another 4 years.
And you broke the story.
I think that because of my reporting. in talking to Republican officials and Republican voters and whatnot. I mean, it's a, you know, that is a commonly expressed fear.
Sure. And clearly, do you believe that anyone other than Marjorie Taylor Greene actually believes that she would be the answer to all of Trump's problems? You broke the story, Jonathan Allen of NBC. You broke the story that Marjorie Taylor Greene fancies herself as Trump's running mate a year from now. Is she serious? And do you think she would be a clever political choice?
Yes, she's serious about wanting to be Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate. You know, whether or not she can get there is another question entirely. It's hard to know at any moment what former President Trump will do, but I'm sure he would get a lot of advice in telling him that she is not the right choice to show that he is capable of expanding his brand to encompass some of the people that didn't vote for him in the last general election, which is what you're talking about with the ticket made, although I guess it's possible you could name somebody for the, you know, during the primary season. It's not clear to me that that would make him more popular rather than less popular.
Yeah. Do you think that Trump would try again something that Ted Cruz tried last time? He appointed Carly Fiorina as his potential running mate before he had before the convention. I know that President Reagan did that in 1976. He appointed the senator from Pennsylvania, the moderate Republican senator from Pennsylvania, as his running mate, Schweiker, I think.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, it hasn't worked. Didn't work for either of them. Would it help President Trump maybe expand his popularity through the more moderate members of the party?
It's possible, but you know, since he's been the dominant force within the Republican Party, it's hard to think about who is it that would, you know, not be seen as to the left of him or to the right of him, and then you know, therefore sort of tick off the other side. I guess if he had somebody he was doubling down with, or somebody who parroted him particularly well, you know, I guess it's possible that that might be helpful. But I haven't seen it work before. Doesn't mean he won't do it. Doesn't mean it can't work. I think it's riskier to do that. I think, you know, in a general election, you make an, you know, sort of a best educated guess, not only about who best helps you, but who hurts you least. You know, I'm not sure that Marjorie Taylor Greene fits that bill either.
And what about Kamala Harris? Because a lot of people thinking that Joe Biden's going to announce his candidacy right after the State of the Union address. Would he announce it as a another Biden-Harris ticket, or leave that an open question?
I would be shocked if it was anything other than Biden-Harris. You know, if you pick a different vice president where you're telling everybody that the first decision you made, the very first decision you made as an advertisement for yourself to the public about your judgment was wrong.
Well, what if she had some other kind of job that might be, I don't know, more appealing than the vice presidency, which was described by two-time Vice President John Nance Garner as a bucket of warm spit, is
spit,
what
spit, yeah.
People say. It was something else that he had in mind. These are all fascinating questions that are coming our way, clearly. Keep in touch with Jonathan Allen. Some of his most recent commentary is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will get to, coming up, the devastating attack on worshipers leaving a synagogue for their Friday night services. That just happened in Jerusalem. And what is remarkable about this story? What is surprising about it? Why is it very different from the story of the Palestinians who were killed recently at Jenin? Well, there's something very, very different here, which we will get to on the Medved Show. We'll be right back.
they pursued the economic agenda.
A new state tax is projected to increase gas prices by 46 cents per gallon next year. The new tax will almost double the amount of state taxes you pay for a gallon of gas. Plus, it gets even worse down the road. This is Michael Medved for Washington Policy Center. By 2030, the new state emissions tax is projected to add 80 cents to a gallon of gas and 97 cents to a gallon of diesel. Go to deep6the46.com for details. Free history show streaming and a download of our daily show ad-free. That's what you get for all of 22 cents a day when you join us as a member, Medhead Plus. This is one of the great deals available to try to enhance appreciation for this greatest nation on God's green earth. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And on the Michael Medved show, as we await the news surrounding the release of the videotape of the beating death of Tyre Nichols in Memphis, Tennessee, there's also horrifying news about another mass shooting. And no, this one is not in the United States. It's in the nation of Israel. It is in the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem, where at least 7 people were killed and 5 were injured Friday night when a Palestinian gunman opened fire at a Jerusalem synagogue. And unless you have ever experienced anything about Shabbat, anything about the Sabbath, in either Israel or in a religious Jewish community anywhere, part of what happens is people go to services to welcome the Sabbath on Friday evening, and then generally groups of people walk home to enjoy the Sabbath meal that would follow. And people were just leaving the synagogue after Sabbath prayers when a terrorist who happens to be a Palestinian resident of East Jerusalem opened up fire. The Wall Street Journal reports the shooter was killed at the scene in a Jewish neighborhood of East Jerusalem, Neve Yaakov, and a large police force responded. The Israeli police say the attacker fatally shot 7 people. Among the 5 wounded was one 70-year-old woman in critical condition. The shooter was identified as a Palestinian resident of East Jerusalem, said the Jerusalem police commander. The shooting attack in Jerusalem comes during a period of heightened tension in Israel and the Palestinian territories following a deadly raid Thursday by Israeli forces in the West Bank Palestinian city of Jenin that occurred yesterday. That raid left 9 dead, and it says here, mostly militants, but also at least 1 civilian. It was the deadliest Israeli operation in the West Bank in recent years. Okay, what I think is very important for people to keep in mind regarding this entire story, and it's one of those things that has not been particularly well covered by the U.S. press. Part of what is stunning about this murderous attack in Jerusalem is that the people who perpetrated it are actually proud of it. Hamas, the terrorist group that rules Gaza, Hamas armed wing basically has claimed credit for the, quote, operation. And both Hamas and Islamic Jihad praised the shooting of worshippers on their way home from a Sabbath service. They have praised it as heroic. What is heroic about this? And then what is the fundamental difference between what happened in Jerusalem and what happened in Jenin yesterday? And this is also truly important. There were 9 people who died in Jenin. At least 8 of them have been identified proudly as terrorists. Hamas's armed wing, this is the Associated Press story by Isabel Deby and on the ground in Israel. Hamas's armed wing claimed 4 of the dead as members of that Hamas armed wing, while Islamic Jihad said 3 others belonged to that group. An earlier statement from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, a militia loosely affiliated with Abbas's secular party, that's Mahmoud Abbas, the 87-year-old president of the Palestinian Authority, they claimed one of the dead was a fighter they identified as Izzaldin Salahat. Okay, so you have 1 of the people who were killed in Jenin, 1 who is from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the 3 are from Islamic Jihad, and 4 are from Hamas. Now, all of these 3 have been identified by the U.S. and by everybody else in the world as terrorist organizations. They are. So what happened in Jenin was, yes, they had 1 elderly civilian who was killed, not so elderly. The Palestinian Health Ministry identified the 61-year-old woman killed as Magda Obaid, which is too bad. But the whole purpose of the raid in Jenin was to stop a planned attack that was being organized at the time by these various groups, an attack on Israelis and taking Israeli lives. And one of the basic ideas here is that when people like a Hamas spokesman, Hazem Qasim, referred to the attack that occurred tonight at Jerusalem, the quote, "Operation in Jerusalem," he said, "is a natural response to the occupation's crime in Jenin." The attack in Jerusalem comes just before the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's scheduled visit to Israel and the Palestinian territories on Monday. The U.S. State Department condemned the shooting as a heinous act of violence. They issued a statement that said, "Our thoughts are with the Israeli people in light of this horrific attack." And, of course, people in Israel are going to feel the attack particularly because today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It is an anniversary of the liberation of the death camps at Auschwitz and Birkenau in 1945. And the idea that there are still people who consider it heroic to kill innocent Jews who are at prayer, it's just as hateful as the murders that occurred in that Charleston church by Dylan Roof, remember him, who should receive the death penalty. He had come to a Bible study and then killed people for no other crime than the fact that they were black. The idea of the anti-Semitism that provoked the Holocaust, and that we recall on Holocaust Remembrance Day, the idea that that people should be killed just because of who they are, not something that they have done. And meanwhile, it's to put in context, Tyree Nichols is not the only innocent victim of senseless and unjustified violence. We will be right back with more.
The Michael Medved Show.
I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA News Update. This is breaking news at this hour. At least five people are dead after an attack at a Jerusalem synagogue. Reports say a Palestinian gunman entered the synagogue and fired at worshipers who gathered for Friday night prayers. At least five others were injured in the incident. Israeli media reports children are among the five people killed. The shooter was killed at the scene. It's believed he acted alone. The city of Memphis bracing for possible protests with the release of body camera video showing
showing the traffic stop that led to the death of Tyree Nichols, Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland.
We wanted to ensure the proper legal steps were followed and that the family of Mr. Nichols had an opportunity to view the video footage privately.
Walt Disney World employees are expected to reject the company's contract offer later today, Disney proposing a raise of $1 an hour. Dave Collins, USA News.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. This is all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Of debate. It's the Michael Medved Show.
And Dateline New York yesterday, an Islamic extremist who killed 8 people with a speeding truck in a 2017 rampage, remember that, on a popular New York City bike path, was convicted yesterday of federal crimes and could face the death penalty. The problem is, of course, getting a death penalty in New York and getting a death penalty for federal crimes when Biden got himself elected as an opponent of the death penalty. Saifullah Saipov bowed his head as he heard the verdict in a Manhattan courtroom just a few blocks from where the attack ended. Prosecutors said the Halloween rampage was inspired by his reverence for the Islamic State group. The 12 jurors deliberated for about 7 hours over 2 days before convicting Saipov, 34, of 28 counts of crimes that include murder in aid of racketeering and supporting foreign terrorist organization. Jurors will return to federal court no earlier than February 6th, to hear more evidence to help them decide whether he should be executed or spend the rest of his life in prison. A death sentence for Saipov, who was a citizen of Uzbekistan, would be an extreme rarity in New York. The state no longer has capital punishment, and the last state execution was in 1963. That's the state. He would be eligible for federal execution. So it goes right back to a question for Merrick Garland and the Justice Department and for President Biden ultimately. And the idea that a terrorist like this, who was proud of what he did in murdering people, about half of them Americans, half of them tourists, by mowing them down with a truck that he had rented, if he doesn't deserve the death penalty, then who does? Exactly. The federal jury in New York has not rendered a death sentence that withstood legal appeals in decades, with the last execution occurring in New York in 1954. Even before the trial, there was no doubt that Saipov was a killer. His lawyers conceded to the jury that he rented a pickup near his New Jersey home, steered it onto the path along the Hudson River, and mowed down bicyclists for blocks before crashing into a school bus near the World Trade Center. He emerged from his truck yelling, "God is great," in Arabic, with a pellet and paintball guns in his hands before he was shot by a police officer who thought they were real firearms. The vehicle attack killed a woman visiting from Belgium with her family, five friends from Argentina, and two Americans. It left others with permanent injuries, including a woman who lost both her legs. Saipov sat quietly each day in the courtroom. Unlike a 2019 pretrial hearing, where he insisted on questioning the judge about why he should be judged for eight deaths when thousands and thousands of Muslims, he said, are dying all over the world. Saipov moved legally to the United States from Uzbekistan in 2010 and lived in Ohio and Florida before joining his family in Paterson, New Jersey. Prosecutors said Saipov attacked civilians to impress the Islamic State group so he could become a member, and appeared pleased and proud with his work, smiling when he spoke to an FBI agent afterward. The federal juries in Brooklyn twice gave a death penalty, a death sentence, to a man who murdered two New York City police detectives, once in 2007 and again in 2013, but both sentences were tossed out on appeal. In 2001, just weeks before the September 11th attacks, federal juries in Manhattan declined to impose a death sentence on two men convicted in the deadly bombings of two U.S. embassies in Africa. Do you remember those horrific times? That was Al-Qaeda. And again, the fact that even the killing on American soil, and embassies are technically American soil, the fact that that does not result in the ultimate penalty really does not indicate a smoothly running system. Speaking of a smoothly running system, there is some news on the campaign of 2024, and we're going to be talking a little bit later with Ian Bremmer about the top risks in 2023. But part of what is going on now is that the Republicans are going to have to step up their fundraising, because it appears that for the first debates that are going to occur in July, to qualify for those debates, in the primaries, the Republican National Committee that just reelected its chair, Ronna McDaniel, is planning to mimic a Democratic tactic in 2020, requiring a certain number of unique individual donors before you can get a spot in the debate stage. The Republicans have been desperately searching for ways to expand their small-dollar donor base, and fundraising pros say the debate requirement could be an effective tool. Meanwhile, speaking of effective tools, President Trump this weekend is supposed to be relaunching his campaign. He is going to be speaking in South Carolina and, I believe, New Hampshire. And not a big, massive rally, but a speech about approaches to the issues. I'm sure that it will have some red meat for the faithful. But the report from Bloomberg is Trump doesn't always get his calls to Iowa returned these days. The former president, itching to seal up support early in what remains a key state in the Republican presidential contest, has checked in with Iowa influencers who have stood behind him in the past. Neither Senator Chuck Grassley nor Governor Kim Reynolds answered the phone when he called them recently. Neither of them are willing to give their party's former leader their nod this early. Senator Joni Ernst, the Republican Iowa, and other top state officials are also rejecting Trump's calls. Now, does that mean that his campaign is finished? By no means. One of the big issues that has been polarizing people in here in King County is whether King County should adopt an anti-Semitism definition that has been adopted by more than 1,000 localities and entities in 39 different countries all around the world, defining what anti-Semitism is. There was an objection to that idea of King County Council voting for that definition, and there was yesterday an opinion piece, an op-ed by a professor at UW who basically said that this would stifle free speech because it would preclude criticism of Israel. That is actually not the case, and that's the case made forcefully by an answering op-ed in the Seattle Times that was written by a friend of mine named Randy Kessler. He is the head of Stand With Us, which is a powerful international group for support for the truth and for balance regarding America and the State of Israel. We will get to that coming up. Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that. but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at gcnfreecbd.com. That's gcnfreecbd.com. Again, gcnfreecbd.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved Show, it's a particular pleasure to welcome my friend, and he is a friend, off microphone as well, Randy Kessler, who is the executive director of Stand With Us in the Northwest office. And Stand With Us is an international nonprofit that educates about Israel and exists to fight anti-Semitism. And that's particularly appropriate to welcome Randy on International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is today. You have a very persuasive piece in the Seattle Times today, Randy, and congratulations on it. Why should people in King County care about our county government adopting a formal definition of anti-Semitism?
It's a great question, Michael, and thank you so much for having me on your show. We believe that in light of the rise of anti-Semitism, as reported by both the ADL and the FBI, it's critical for local governments to step up and express support for the Jewish community. But the reason a definition is needed, and the IHRA definition is the one that we support, is because anti-Semitism really evolves over time. It is not the same in 2023 as it was in 1943. And in order for government agencies to effectively respond to anti-Semitism and work to prevent it in the community, these kinds of clear definitions are necessary. In addition, there's, you know, what I mentioned, the difference between 1943 and 2023. In 1943, there was a Holocaust, but in 2023, there is a State of Israel, which is a state that was established for the purpose of serving as a national homeland for the Jewish people while respecting the rights of its non-Jewish inhabitants as well. And in today's day and age, unfortunately, anti-Zionism, extreme characterizations of Israel have unfortunately seeped into our discourse and become unfortunately all too commonplace. And so it's really important that the public has a tool to identify where does legitimate criticism of Israel stop and anti-Semitism begin. And this definition really provides contemporary examples to help educate the public about that.
Well, let's get to that, because Professor Halpern, who wrote the column that provoked yours, says that she is afraid that under these definitions, she would not be able to criticize the government of Israel. Israel is a very controversial government right now, even among Israelis. Is there any sense in which adopting this definition of anti-Semitism, which has 14, I think it is, indications of the kind of anti-Semitic speech that they're talking about. Would any of that interfere with the right of any American of Palestinian origin or Jewish origin or anyone anywhere criticizing the Israeli government?
Not at all. And I'm so glad you asked that question, because that really was one of the key contentions that Professor Halperin made in her piece, that she was concerned about, quote-unquote, censoring or some kind of potential criminalization of speech. That's not at all what this is about. And you don't have to believe me. You can read the definition. It specifically says that criticism of Israel, similar to criticism leveled against any other country, cannot be regarded as anti-Semitic. And that's a critical, important piece. The IIHRA definition does not infringe on anybody's First Amendment right to say, you know, to speak very broadly, and that includes criticism of any government, Israel included. But if you or your readers would take a look at the 11 examples, and it's not 14, it's 11, 11 contemporary examples, I would challenge anyone to quote me one of them that's not, you know, deeply anti-Semitic. We could have that discussion, and we open ourselves up to those discussions when we educate. But that's the position that I would assert on this.
Yeah, the one of the things that is one of those 11 statements that are examples of anti-Semitism given by these definitions is denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. In other words, if you don't believe that the existence of a state of France is a racist endeavor, or that the existence of the United States is a racist endeavor at its heart, if you don't believe that, then why do you single out only the Jewish state of all the states in the country to say it has its very existence involves racism?
It's an excellent point. I've heard, and I think this is an important point to clarify, there's confusion about what it means for there to be a Jewish state. And I'm sure you've covered this on your show, but it is not a religious state. It's not a theocracy. That's not the idea. The Jewish people are unique as religious groups go, in that to be a Jew is not just a matter of being a religious, having the religion of Judaism. As you well know, and as many of your listeners know, being a Jew is something you can do without believing in God or without keeping any of the religious laws. So that is the important reason why a Jewish state was recognized and stands in the community of nations today as a member of the United Nations.
And in terms of the anti-Semitism and the willingness of people of goodwill, including some Muslims here in the Northwest, the National Council of Imams have supported these definitions, right?
That's right. I don't think anybody could accuse the Global Imams Council of being a Zionist organization.
And there are 39 countries, other nations, that have recognized these definitions and put these forward?
That's right. I made the point in my piece that this definition is really not controversial at all. In fact, it's only controversial by the people who wish for their over-the-top criticism of Israel or Jews to be labeled not anti-Semitic. They're fighting against this definition because they want to be free to say what they want without having their speech labeled as anti-Semitic. And I understand that desire, but this is where we have to draw the line. You know, you can say hateful things legally in America, but that doesn't prevent you or doesn't mean that you will not receive the consequences of your anti-Semitic speech if you choose to say it. But there again, there's no prohibition about saying it. It's a labeling and definitional approach.
And definitionally, we were talking before on the show about the sad news from Jerusalem this evening, where seven people at least were killed, five others grievously wounded, leaving synagogue from Friday night services. And this was praised by Hamas as a heroic operation. Islamic Jihad also praised it as a heroic operation. Would that constitute, you think, pretty clearly anti-Semitism under any definition?
I think it's just common sense, Michael. You don't even need a definition. I think to come to the conclusion that praising the murder of innocent people is wrong.
I appreciate that. Randy Kessler, I'm pleased you could join us, and Shabbat Shalom. And I probably will see you later on. Meanwhile, on the Michael Medved Show, we are still early in 2023, but what are the big dangers that we have that are coming up for the United States and for the world? Ian Bremmer is one of those people who is a bit of a futurist. He's an analyst, a political scientist, an author, and a columnist at Time magazine. He's also president of the Eurasia Group, which looks at the future and looks at dangers that various nations and groups of nations face. We'll have Ian Bremmer joining us about the biggest threats of 2023. Also, the Associated Press has determined that there's a very big threat you may be unaware of, but we'll tell you the truth about it. It's the use of the word "the." What's wrong with "the"? We'll get to that and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Refunds.com, powered by Innovation Refunds.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.